All right, class, this is Brother Calhoun again, and this should be lesson number 10. We're going to get into some areas we talked about earlier this semester, but since this is probably one of our last classes this semester, I wanted to really hit home this class session on how to build honor, and we'll go into it more next semester on key areas on how to build honor. And this class session, if you're following along in your book, should be somewhere along page 89 and 90 where it talks about how to build honor. So I'm going to get into a word of prayer and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, again, that this is the day that you have made and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for each and every student, Lord God. And Lord God, I thank you, praise God, that everyone is going to have a blessed holiday season this year, Lord God, spending time with family and loved ones. And Lord God, that we already know that Jesus is the reason for the season. So I thank you, Lord God, that you bless their holiday season this year. And Lord, I thank you, as always, Holy Spirit, I'm expecting you to show up, because if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to get in with us in this subject on how to build honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, as I stated, this class session is going to touch on some things we talked about earlier, but being that this should be around the last class session for this semester, I wanted to really drill it home, because these, one thing about a foundation, this class session is going to give you a strong foundation on building honor. A house is never any stronger than the foundation that is built upon. We're in the process of building a new home, my wife and I, and it took months just to get the pad foundation developed properly. But when I look at it, I look at the other ground, we had to get a certain type of dirt to build up the pad instead of the dirt that was on the surface of our property, because it was a kind of what they call a blackjack type of dirt that cracks. So we had to get some good clay dirt in there, and it was worth the wait, because I can see the difference. So I know my physical house is going to be built upon a sure foundation, but what I'm endeavoring to do today is to get your spiritual house in reference to honor built upon a good foundation. All right, so in this teaching, we're going to again look at the subject on how to build honor. And one of the things I said a couple of weeks ago, a lot of times young ministers or young people endeavoring for the ministry, they have a tendency to disqualify themselves by launching out too early, by not waiting on their spiritual father or their pastor to give them the proper instruction, or actually send them out in ministry right. Because the worst thing you can do is to step out on your own ability and not receive the blessing of your spiritual father. And that's so very important. There's a protocol that needs to be followed. Unfortunately, there are many prominent young gifts in the body of Christ that are immature, sometimes even untrained. And that's what we're in the process of doing, is giving each and every person a proper training, that they don't have exposure to spiritual protocol as they should. How to properly show respect to their spiritual leaders and dignitaries who have rank in ministry. And as a result, they will say certain things to people who are in authority or not submit properly, which will cripple their ministry. All right. You are observing. Listen up. You are observing protocol when you honor the gifts in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. I'm going to read that again, because that's something you will see again. You are observing protocol when you honor the gifts in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. And that's so very important that we learn that. Because see, now protocol, let me just give you a definition of protocol. Protocol is a set of rules governing the format or exchange, or it has to do with following a particular order, a particular way of doing things, which is a protocol, you know, and there's a protocol that has to be followed. You just can't do what you want to do in ministry. One of the things I even learned, even in the work industry when I was working, is that you never want to burn bridges behind you. You always want to leave on a good note. But at the same time, in spiritual things, you really never leave. You might be launched out in areas, but you always want to report back to headquarters. You're going to always need that covering, and that's so very important that we understand that there's a spiritual covering that we need, and that covering protects you. When your man of God, your spiritual father, your pastor, they're praying for you, they're covering you, so that the enemy there won't be this onslaught of things coming at you, even though they may be coming, but they won't have any effect on you or your ministry because you're not out there necking. Last week we talked about Noah being uncovered. You don't want to be uncovered in ministry. You want to have a proper covering. Connection and covering is everything. I'll say that again. Connection and covering is everything. Amen. All right, we're going to move on. The first way to build honor, and we talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago, is to walk in wisdom. And I'm going to read some scriptures pertaining to wisdom. Proverbs 3:13-16 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, the gain thereof than fine gold." Talking about wisdom. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Listen to this. This is verse 16 of Proverbs 3. For length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. So honor is in the hand of wisdom. If you want to build honor, you have to walk in wisdom. Length of days are in her right hand, and riches and honor are in her left hand. So there's no way around it. A person who walks in honor, they're going to walk in wealth, because wealth and honor and wisdom are all synonymous. They all run together. One of the things the apostle always say, he said, never go after money. You know, go after God. And when you go after God, you're going after God's wisdom. So the first area that you have to begin to develop is to ask God for wisdom. When you're serving your man of God, your pastor, or either having other people serve under you, it's so important to have wisdom, so God can give you the wisdom and the discernment that you need, and he can actually give you insight into a situation that might be happening that'll give you the direction you need to go in. I remember several years ago, there was this couple who was having some issues with a particular individual. And what I mean by issues was just someone who was doing something that they weren't supposed to do. One of the things Apostle would always say, he didn't want nobody soliciting at the church. If they had a business or something that they were doing, to do it outside of church hours. The people who come to church come there to hear the word of God, not to listen to your business proposition. Well, this particular person was doing some propositioning for a business, and I remember seeing the couple walking away. I was talking with them, and when I walked away, this other individual started to head in their direction. They didn't see me, because I was kind of blocked by a column or the couple. But then when I kind of stepped around a corner, this individual was headed right to him and whispered something to him in regards to this business proposition that they wanted to do. I didn't hear that because I had already kind of turned and was heading out the back door. But I saw the person when they turned and started to walk towards them, and it just didn't register right in my spirit. So I told my wife, I said, you know, I saw the individual and it looked like they was approaching this couple. And I said, something wasn't right. And my wife being the woman of God that she is, she said, well, let's just pray and ask God to reveal to you what was going on and to give you the wisdom. So we prayed, if any man lack wisdom. So we prayed and we asked God to give us wisdom. And no sooner as we finished praying that prayer, the couple in question called us up and informed us without us even asking what had happened, you know. And we were able to report this situation to headquarters, and the situation got rectified like the next day. You know, I'm not going to go into detail what happened, but here again, praying and asking God for wisdom. You know, I want to give you a lot more detail because there's more to it than that. But the gist of it is, when you serve, I'm serving, and God is as a life bearer, or a master life bearer in our church. There are people that, you know, that I have, you know, I'm over, and have to, if they have issues, they can come to me, and I bring whatever situation that they're dealing with to the person I'm over, and they bring it to Apostle. And so it takes wisdom. If you remember, who was it? I think it was David said, Lord, you know, I don't know how to go in or come out. He says, give me wisdom so I can know how to discern good and evil, you know. And the Lord gave him the wisdom that he needed, but he also gave him riches. So because he prayed for wisdom, God says, yeah, I'm going to give you what you request, but I'm going to also give you riches, because riches, wisdom, and honor, they run together. Let me just move on. So the first step in building honor is developing, or developing honor is growing in wisdom. John the Baptist and Jesus both grew in different ways, but Jesus grew in wisdom and grace. He increased in wisdom. So the first step of building honor is developing wisdom in your life. And I'm going to just read some scriptures here. Proverbs chapter 2, and I'm not going to read all of Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to just read portions of it. He says, my son, if you will receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy ear unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seeketh her as silver and searcheth for her as hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So very important. Going down to verse 12, to deliver thee, now this is what wisdom will do. It will deliver thee from the evil man, from the man that keepeth forth, speaketh far things, who leads the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoices to do evil and delights in the forwardness of wickedness, whose ways are corked and they forward in their path, to deliver thee from the strange wisdom. Wisdom will deliver thee, the scripture says, from the strange woman, or the stranger, even the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the God of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclines unto death, and her paths is also into death. None that go unto her, neither take they take hold of the path of life. So you want to walk in wisdom, because a lot of times in the natural things may look good, but when you ask God for wisdom, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, to let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not. So the first area of growing in honor is to asking God to give you godly wisdom on a daily basis, so that the decisions that you make and the things that come up in ministry and in life, God can give you accurate and precise wisdom. That's so very important. Let me go on and read some other excerpts from Proverbs. Proverbs is a good chapter in the Bible that talks about wisdom. It's talking about wisdom here. It says, does not wisdom cry and the understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She cried at the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the coming in at the doors, unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Going down, this is a Proverbs chapter 8, going down to verse 11. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that thou desires are not to be compared to it. Wisdom dwell with the prudent, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Verse 13, Proverbs 8, 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I understand. I am understanding. I have strength. Verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find thee. That's talking about wisdom. Riches and honor are with thee, durable riches and righteousness. So with wisdom comes riches and honor. So you wanna operate in wisdom. I can go on and on and on about wisdom, but the first key in developing honor is to operate in wisdom. Let's move on. The second key element of operating in honor is walking in humility. Never mistake humility or humbleness for weakness, because it's not. Proverbs 15 and 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So before honor, you walking in humility. And it's very important that we understand that we need to walk in godly humility. Your soul, your gift, your talents are totally submitted to God. Humility helps you to submit to what God has called you to do and who God has called you to serve under. When you walk humbly before God, God will give you the instruction you need and the direction you need. And it's so very important to recognize. I look at the word humility as simply, without any questions or reservations, obeying God's voice, obeying God's command, obeying God's servant, humbly submitting without coming up with your own reasoning and rationale of why you should or shouldn't do it, but you just humbly submit to God and the God's servant. Your pastor, your apostle, you know, whomever you're submitting to or under, that's walking in godly humility. Listen to this. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. We'll read that again. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. Your soul, your gift, and your talent totally submitted to God. Humility helps you to submit to what God has called you to do and whom God has called you to serve. That's so very important. Humility is when God owns you. In other words, Lord, in you I live and I move and I have my being. I'm totally submitted to you. You know, God owns you. Can you say that God owns you? Can you, how can I say this? You know, I remember the saying we used to say, Lord, more of you and less of me. But when you totally are walking in humility, Lord, none of me and all of you. In other words, Lord, like Jesus said, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's humility. That's humility. Amen. You use your anointing, your gift, and your talent to undergird, uplift the mission, and support the ministry or the vision that God's called you to, or the vision of another. And that's so important. You have no sideline agendas or no ulterior motives. When you walk in total humility, you don't have a sideline agenda. You don't have an ulterior motive. You're totally walking in submission to what God's called you to do. A person's power must be seen in their humility. When you are weak or limited in your own strength, you then become strong in Christ. You take up on his strength. He takes your weakness and exchange it for his strength. So when you walk in humility, and a lot of times, even when I'm ministering, I'll start off in the natural, fumble around and know what I want to say but can't say it. But I'm leaning on the Holy Ghost. I'm leaning on God. And all of a sudden, godly wisdom, godly humility kicks in, and the Bible talks about it. You know, you're actually changed into another person, because it's no longer you that's living, but it's Christ that's living in you. Yeah, I'm alive, but I'm yielding up my members and my mind and my body under him, and I'm letting all that he is that's on the inside of me, and whatever he says to me, that's what I do or that's what I say. And all of a sudden, I mean, and I said it more than once, you know, when I first started out teaching, I would leave at the end of a teaching session, driving home, and I would say, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I don't feel qualified. But then the Lord would remind me, you know, you're not doing it in your strength. Do it in my strength. Don't do it in your strength. You know, it's not about you, but it is about you fulfilling the will of God for your life. And when you begin to recognize, hey, you know, if God be for me, who can be against me? You know, and you recognize that it's going to take godly humility to accomplish that mission, well, then you submit to God. You submit to his word. You submit to whom God has called you to submit to. Amen. Just looking at some notes here and trying to make sure I cover everything. The main thing to keep is integrity and the anointing intact in walking in the spirit of humility around all people. The main thing to keep is your integrity and your anointing intact is to walk in the spirit of humility around people. Because if you walk in any other spirit than the spirit of humility, listen up, you give legitimacy to the individual that attacked you, and God cannot fight on your behalf. And that's so very important. You want God to fight on your behalf. So when you walk in godly humility, you can't help it. God can't help but fight your battles. The more mature you become, the more humility you will have to walk in before God. Amen? All right, number three. Walking in the spirit of integrity and uprightness in conduct, all right, builds honor. The third way to build honor is to walk in the spirit of integrity and uprightness in conduct. Integrity is the quality of being honest, having a good moral behavior or good moral principles in your life and values, virtue, righteousness, and honesty. In other words, listen up. Well, let me read Proverbs 26 and 1. The spirit of integrity, it's talking about integrity here, as the snow in summer and as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. As the snow in summer and as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. In other words, let me break that down. Foolishness and honor don't run together. When a person is operating in foolishness, they're not operating in honor, okay? They don't run together. The word foolishness there has to do with one's inability to walk in the spirit of honor.
You know, so foolishness, you know, going back to that scripture, you know, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. So don't be a fool, walk in honor. Don't walk in foolishness, but walk in honor. Amen. In other words, wise individuals know how to conduct themselves. So the third way to build honor is by walking in upright conduct. Everywhere you go, your conduct must be upright. You must be a man and a woman of integrity. Amen. Moral integrity, not trapped in any sexual type of vice, immoral conduct, homosexuality, lesbianism, inordinate affection, you know, foolish gesturing, all of those things, the works of the flesh, are foolishness, and foolishness and honor don't walk together. Be a person of integrity and upright and moralness of conduct. Amen. If you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The scripture says in Colossians 3:5, how we should mortify the members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, covetousness, you know, which is idolatry. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but you know, Galatians 5:19, where it talks about the works of the flesh. We want to make sure that we walk in not the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. And when you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you can't help but walk in integrity and uprightness of heart. Amen. So we'll move on. The fourth way of walking and building honor is to serve. Serving is the fourth way you produce honor or build honor in your life. It's so very important that you know how to serve properly. Amen. What I mean by serve, I mean when God calls you to a ministry or to a man of God, you're not there to be a bench warmer. You're there to be a participator in the work of the ministry. And it's so very important that you find your place of ministry or your place in the ministry of helps or whatever it is. I always tell people, whatever you can do, you know, keep your hands busy in the things of God, because God will give a visionary a vision, but then he will also surround that visionary with able men and women to help put legs to the vision and carry the vision. You know, with Word of Life, it talks about write the vision and to make it plain and put it on table, put it on tablets so people can read it. So as they read it, they can walk with the vision or they can run with the vision. You know, very, very important. So don't see yourself as a bench warmer. Bench warmer, I'm talking about if you ever played sports and you never got in the game, you never really participated. Yeah, you participate in practice, but it's nothing like, you know, blocking for the running back, or, you know, tackling somebody who's about to tackle the quarterback, or if you're playing basketball, you know, setting a block for the guard who's about to shoot the ball, you know, are you the person that's doing the shooting, you contribute, are you rebounding and throwing the ball, the outlet pass to the guard so they can start a fast break, you know. You have something to contribute, and that's so very important. All right, let me move on. In serving, look at Proverbs 27:17-18. It says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Listen up. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. I'm going to read that again. It says in Proverbs 27:17-18, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. You know, serving faithfully. That's so very important. When you serve faithfully, it'll help you to walk in honor. Serving faithfully. So he that builds honor is serving. Serving produces honor. Serving will definitely cause you to elevate to another level. Amen. Okay, listen up. If Elijah, if you can serve Elijah, now put your name in here. You shall reap the benefits and the seeds of honor. Joshua, are you a Joshua? If you can serve Moses, you will reap the benefits of honor. David, if you can serve Saul, you know, then you will reap the benefits of honor, or that honor produces. The scripture says iron sharpens iron. In other words, metals that are compatible to each other, they complement each other. You know, you might have different types of metals. I don't have a periodic table in front of me, but to make a stronger metal, you might take an iron ore and mix it with a steel, you know, or an aluminum, or a titanium. Titanium is a strong metal. And when you mix two ingredients of metal together, it produces a stronger property. That's why the scripture says iron sharpens iron. It takes iron to sharpen iron, or to make it stronger, you know. And that's why it's so very important that those who are taught in the word and stronger, that we nurture those younger brothers and sisters in the Lord who may be a lesser metal, but we want to sharpen them and help develop them by encouraging them. Iron sharpens iron. You know, my man of God sharpens me. My apostle sharpens me. You know, if you ever sharpen a knife, you when you sharpen it with a stronger metal, it's going to cause it to be stronger, sharper, ready to do service. Amen. You know, you can't cut nothing with a dull knife. You need it to be strong. You need it to be sharp. Amen. All right, let me move on. Okay, listen up. When he says also, in the scripture says, an individual that keeps the fig tree. In other words, if you understand what produces fruit in your life and you protect the fruit bearing agencies of your life by honoring the fruit bearing agencies, you will reap the benefits of what you have nurtured. Basically, he that keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. And that's so very important. You know, that's a part of serving. You're nurturing a vision. You help putting legs to a vision. You're upholding a vision by doing your part to carry that vision and to keep that vision going forward. You know, your man of God, your pastor, your apostle, your spiritual father, who's the visionary, they speak out what thus said the Lord. And it's our job to put legs to that vision by serving, by nurturing that vision, by sharing that vision, you know, by undergirding that vision. And that's so very important, you know. And because of that, we're going to eat the fruits of the vision that we undergird. Amen. Listen up. Most of all, if you will serve someone, if you will serve your apostolic father, your prophetic gift, your pastor who is under apostolic government, if you will serve in the area of ministry, the Bible says you will be honored, you know, by serving. Serving is so very important. Okay. All right. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited or serves his master shall be honored. Serving produces honor. So you want to keep the fig tree. You want to keep it nurtured. Keep it pruned. You know, that's talking about the vision. You know, and by doing so, you shall be honored. All right. Going to move on to number 5, obedience and submission, the fifth way to produce honor. Obedience and submission is the fifth way to produce honor. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye, as long as ye do what you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Then it says in verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So he says here that Sarah obeyed Abraham. She honored him. Likewise, husbands, honor your wives. So step number five is to show in producing honor is submission and obedience. It's so very important. In 1 Samuel 1 and 15, it talks about Saul, how Saul offered up a sacrifice. Saul was instructed by Samuel to kill the Amalekites and to spare nothing, to kill the children, kill the animals, kill everything. But Saul spared the best of the sheep, King Agrippa, and he killed everything else. And Saul said, well, you know, have you done them? Samuel said, have you done the work of the Lord? And Samuel said, yes, I have. And then Samuel said, well, what's the bleeding of the sheep that I hear? I hear sheep in the background. And he said, well, we kept the best of the sheep and King Agrippa, but we killed. And he said, because we're going to offer up a sacrifice. Okay, now listen up. You have sacrifice and you have obedience, and then you have submission. Okay, Saul offered the sacrifice, and Samuel said to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. But you can take that even one step further. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is even better than obedience. Because when you submit, you're totally sold out. A person can actually walk in obedience by doing the right thing, but their heart may not be in it. You know, you've got to be careful. You know, I remember hearing this one situation where someone was punishing a kid, and the kid, they told him to stand up in the corner, and he's standing up in the corner. He says, I'm standing out of obedience, but in my heart, I'm sitting down. In other words, hey, I'm doing the physical, but on the inside, I'm not feeling it. But when you submit, when you walk in complete and total submission, you can't help but walk in honor. You know, submission to the cause. You know, I always use the definition of submission in the area of, you know, when you submit, you fall under the mission of someone else, and you submit totally to the vision, you know, and when they change direction, you change direction. You flow with your pastor, flow with your apostle, flow with the vision that God has put you under. Because a vision is a redemptive plan of God, and it's a vehicle that's going to carry you where God wants you to go. It'll carry you into your wealthy place. It'll carry you into help. It'll carry you in the fulfilling the will of God for your life, because God placed a vision. He placed a visionary, and he gives the visionary a vision, and that visionary now has people that submit to him, and you're submitting in obedience and submission, and by doing so, you cannot help but fulfill the will of God. Excuse me. And here's another example. I can say to somebody to go get me a glass of water. He may obey me, but he may not be submitted to me. He may fetch the glass of water in obedience, but he might have disregard and hate for me in his heart. I mean, I'm doing it out of obedience, but my heart is not really in this. So obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. Sarah obeyed, but also submitted. All right. So the way you build honor is by submission and obedience. Mary said to the servants in John chapter 2, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Because submission becomes the breeding ground for the supernatural. Listen up. Submission becomes the breeding ground for the supernatural. Submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord, miracles will take place. You know, so it's so very important that we learn all of these principles, and there are going to be some more we're going to go over into next semester, you know. But first you need wisdom, then you need to walk in humility, and once you begin to walk in humility, you want to make sure you operate in integrity and uprightness of heart, you know, living right. So very important, you need to know how to serve properly. When serving will produce honor every time. And once you continue to serve, you know, and walk in that servitude, you also want to be obedient and walk in submission, you know, because submission, like I said, is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you can obey and serve, you're going to be blessed. Amen. For the last 32 years, it's been my desire to submit, to walk in wisdom, to walk in humility, to walk in servitude, to walk in integrity, you know, and to submit and walk in obedience to my apostle, my man of God. And, you know, and I've been blessed. My family's been blessed because of that, you know. So I'm not just giving you principles of things that I, you know, read in the book, but I've actually applied it to my life, and also am continuing to apply it in my life, and I'm seeing the blessings of God manifest in every area of my life. With that said, we're going to conclude for today. See each and every one of you next time. Be blessed. Amen.